So if we're all set, ready to go, first of all, thanks very much for everyone coming along at short notice this afternoon. We're obviously here in reference to the press release that we put out, which is two of our players have recently tested positive to performance-enhancing drugs, which we were notified by ASADA. Very quickly, this afternoon I wanted to read out the statement that we've already put out just to cover off the details. And I think it's appropriate due to the sensitivity of what we're dealing with that I read the statement just to keep it tight, because I am bound by quite tight confidentiality parameters through the Players Association, ASADA, etc. I'm sure there'll be lots of questions at the end for myself and Neil. I'm sure there'll be far more questions than there will be answers, and I just ask you to respect that while we're here this afternoon, we do so knowing that we are very, very restricted in what we're able to deal with. So there may be quite a few of the questions where we literally say we might love to answer, but we simply can't, and we've got legal advice on that before we throw it open. We're also here because it's really important for us as a club to be 100% transparent with this as an issue. We believe that's in the best interests of the club, the players, definitely our supporters, and for the AFL industry. You know, this is a major issue. It's also really important that we talk about this, and as we've seen today, that the players are named so that there's not a question mark on the other players on the list, which has quite often happened, and some of you in the room would know there's actually been players' names thrown around that aren't part of it, and that was starting to drift through. And another key part of this is in the week before the first game, we needed to be able to address this as a club with the players, with the coaches, as much as we could, so that Nathan, the coaches and the players could move on and actually start dealing and preparing for the Brisbane game. So that's why we have pushed since finding out about this on Friday to have it dealt with this afternoon. So I'll quickly read through the statement and then we'll throw it open to questions. So the Collingwood Football Club was advised on Friday by ASADA that two of its players, Lachlan Keefe and Josh Thomas, are under investigation. The pair have returned a positive A sample to clenbuterol, a substance prohibited under the WADA anti-doping code. The second, or B sample, are still to be analysed, and it's important at this stage that we remember that there is no breach unless the B sample is positive. At this point, the players are not conveyed anything to the club to explain the positive result. Both have sought independent legal advice through the Players Association, which we support. It's important for Collingwood to communicate to its supporters that the club has conducted a forensic audit of its dietary and nutrition program and is completely satisfied the positive results is in no way connected to that program. The Collingwood dietary and nutrition program is tightly controlled, everything is recorded, and it's overseen by an independent integrity officer. Collingwood is wholly committed to upholding the WADA anti-doping policy and the cause of eradicating performance-enhancing drugs in sport. Collingwood's hoping to meet the players during this week to have discussions with both players and their representatives to look at whether it's appropriate for all parties for them to continue to train and be down at the Westpac Centre, and we'll all parties will keep you updated on that. But it's really important that we also put on the table that while we're dealing with this as a club, we are also throwing all our support and resources around the players and what they require, and we're in constant communication with the Players Association and the players' representatives. So that's pretty much what the statement that went out today. And I throw it open to you now for questions.
What was your reaction?
Well, I got a call on Friday morning, and to take that call from someone from ASADA, and they started off with what the charges were, and then when they rolled out who the two players were, I must admit, I was pretty devastated because we're actually talking about two of the highest quality young men as part of our program. So I think everyone would have felt the same, surprised and quite devastated. And like I said, that was Friday morning, and then things unfolded from there in contact with the players and the processes rolled out.
Do you think they
deliberately took this grade? I haven't had the conversations with the players to ask them that question or push that. I've spoken to the players, and it was very much about sitting down with ASADA. This is a really serious process, and my role on Friday was to make sure that we got hold of the players, found the players, linked them up with ASADA, allowed ASADA to go through the process, which we 100% support. We then made sure that we work with the players, their player managers and the Players Association to make sure that they could make the decisions they had to on Friday, which is about getting legal advice rather than starting with big in-depth conversations about it.
Do you believe that they ingested or whatever this drug while you were on your pre-season trip to New Zealand?
All I know that is in the test, the only facts that I have is in the test, they tested positive to the substance that I've said. I don't have any details apart from, as we said in the statement, when we spoke to the players and we said, can you see any reason for this positive test? And they both answered no. That's all I'm dealing with at this stage.
Gary, are you baffled by the fact that your audit of your dietary and nutrition program has given that all clear? So whatever they used to have this drug in their system came from outside the club guidelines. Are you baffled by that?
Well, I don't know if I would say I'm baffled by it. The only thing that we can control is what actually happens as part of our program. While the players are here at the Westpac Centre or under the guidance of our programs, but there is a massive amount of time. We have over 40 players walking around away from the club having to make decisions on a daily basis. And that's something that they have to be responsible for. But again, any time you have a situation like we're dealing with here, is there's certainly a lot of people disappointed.
So, okay. But it does seem as though they have gone, even at this early stage, and before your investigations, it does seem as though they've gone out of the club to take something.
Yeah, but I'm not dealing with what seems to be, and I've had all sorts of rumours and stories, and this is the likely outcomes. Really, with so much going on, all I can deal with is the facts. And the facts is the positive test. ASADA now investigates. We're certainly not trying to investigate this at the level. I mean, ASADA is resourced up, and they have the people, the processes, and the information to take this forward. And we'll be supporting their process rather than going through a separate one.
Have you had your access? Explanation, Gary? Surely you've asked for an
explanation. No, we under the circumstances, when we spoke to the players, I would say they look close to being shocked on Friday. You've got to keep in mind these are two young men that were at home and had ASADA knock on their door. Both Neil and myself spoke to them shortly after, and the only way I could describe it would be quite shell-shocked. And so, no, we weren't pushing for all the questions you might calmly sit here and think that we would be pushing for. It was more about supporting the players, make sure that they had the right people around and make sure that they had that representation. And I think all parties, including the AFL, handled a really difficult situation of the day really well and in coordination.
Have you had your access to those players since then? It seems you haven't been able to talk to them since then.
Well, that's right. So what the players have chosen to do, and as I said, we support, is to get the support of their managers, the Players Association. The Players Association then have teed up legal representation, and that's where they've been spending their time. We've certainly made ourselves available if they want to talk to us and do they need any more support, but I think they're well supported at the moment. And all we've left them with is the fact that this week we would like to catch up and have those conversations, but they need to first get their legal advice before we have those conversations.
What have you put into place? You've got an integrity officer since obviously the situation. What are the layers you've got to safeguard yourself?
Well, the layers are, you know, we could sit here for quite some time talking about that, because like most clubs, we activated a very experienced, independent integrity officer, and a guy named Robert Cockrell, who after pretty well within the first couple of days of the Essendon saga, he was activated to do a full in-depth audit of the entire football program, and he got the cooperation of every single person there. That report, which was in-depth and went to the board, was certainly said that there was no issues for us as a club, and that we'd been handling our nutrition and diet programs, what he described as conservatively, but highly professionally. And then we got him in again, briefed him on Friday once this incident happened, to say, we want you to re-look at the program and give us any feedback or advice. And again, that's come back with a 100% clearance, which is why we can both sit here today and say confidently this is not something that has come through our program.
What's the worst case scenario? Have you looked ahead to 2 4 years
back? Obama, you can.
Well, we haven't really gone that far. We really feel how challenging this is for the players, but we're not looking that far forward. We're hoping there's a good outcome, but we're accepting at the moment they're not going to be available, and it could be for some time, and we'll just see what happens. But we've got to be as supportive as we can for them, recognising that obviously they're responsible for their own behaviour. But they both, as Gary said, that they were, it was disbelief of both of them. They both said, we haven't done this. Now, who knows how it all happened and whatever. We know no more than that.
What did they say, Mum?
No, I said it was disbelief. They just said, no, we haven't done this.
Oh, so they said they haven't done it?
Yeah.
Glenn Buterol, have you investigated what sort of drug that is?
Oh, yeah, we know what it is, and that's, which is one of the reasons we think, why would they? Where
would
they?
How would they get that in their system, knowing what this drug is?
Well, they would have to actively be pursuing it and wanting it. I mean, if you look at both these players, neither of them, it doesn't make any sense for either of them to use this, because they're both quite lean, which is a bit unusual for some of us, but they're very lean. They don't need it. They're very fit. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but yeah, that, we're not making any...
Have you got a logical answer?
I have no explanation. No, I have no... But when we talk to them, we just need to talk through that a little bit more. And clearly they'll be doing that with their direct representatives, but, you know, we're still very associated with them. We want to help them, so we will be talking to them the next couple of days.
Is it fair or unfair? Is it fair that people out here reading this, listening to this at home, right now going, how in the hell does that get in their body if they didn't put it in themselves?
Oh,
we say the same thing. Yeah.
But I think that's a natural thing. But, I mean, we can all sit down and we can come up with theories, and I've certainly over the last couple of days heard a whole array of theories on what is probable, how this would be likely, that would be unlikely. Really, it's irrelevant. This is why we have ASADA. This is why there's investigation. This is why we support the investigation rather than go about it separately, because we're not going to have the data. We're not going to have the information that ASADA's got to get to the bottom of it. So really, what we think and the rumours and hypotheticals that have been thrown to us, to be quite honest, are irrelevant. And with everything we're dealing with, we simply don't have the energy or headspace to explore all those scenarios.
Yeah, just kind of following your last comment, Neil, in your conversation with the players, they said we have not done this.
Yeah. That's clear. That's clear everywhere. They're claiming that they're not guilty.
Are you worried, guys, that there could be more cases? I mean, obviously you didn't see this coming, and it's been unusual perhaps too. It's two players at the same time. Are you concerned there could be more matches you just don't know about right now?
Well, the first question that I asked ASADA is, when we went through the fact that there's two players, is there any more? That's the obvious question to ask, and they said no. So again, I can only go off what they told us in that conversation.
What about a timeline of it? We've got Brian Crowley 8 months after a suspension or after a test. Have you got any idea of whether this might take all season to get to a tribunal if the B sample's positive?
Well, again, we're just dealing with the facts, is the B, there is no breach unless the B sample comes up with exactly the same readings. And again, everyone's assumed to be innocent until that plays out. The timing of that's controlled by ASADA, and then the result of that test will then dictate some of the steps from there. Also, the way the players and their legal representatives handle and what their outcomes are. So, as Neil said, we've had a very short conversation, we've been given no plausible reason why it's happened, and now the players with their representatives have got to decide how this rolls out from their perspective as well. So the point is, there is a whole lot of variables that could dictate how short or long this actually takes to play out. And again, I stress that Nathan has made it very clear to the players what they control is how they prepare and play for the weekend and potentially the games after that, and that's where their focus is.
Yeah, no, well, Lockie's been a little bit injured over the last few weeks, but he's done a pretty reasonable pre-season, and Josh has been playing quite well, so they're both going okay.
I'm sorry, Gary, I was just going to ask, you're the biggest franchise in Australian sport. What does this do to your brand?
Well, it's not ideal, pretty well every aspect, when you have a situation like this, just to be dealing it, before we even get to the outcome. The fact that we're sitting in here having these conversations, and our supporters and potential members are looking at this, you know, can have an effect. It's sponsors. We have to ring our sponsors and talk this through with them. So there are big off-field commercial impacts on having to deal with a situation like this. And as we said, one of the other big focuses we've got within our football program, we have a player group now all of a sudden know that two of their teammates are being investigated, and the potential sanctions out of this are serious.
Who spoke to the players on Friday?
Both of us.
Both of us, yeah.
Did you believe what they said?
You know what, when you go through these conversations, I'm not, it might sound strange, but in the circumstance when you've got a young player coming in and literally ASADA is in the office as they walk up, this is about, you don't have the opportunity to sit down and discuss this or integrity. It is literally about the player coming in and coming through to...
They did say, we've got no idea. Did you believe them when they said that?
Well, yeah, I did, yes. Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
What about contamination?
That's not saying anything about the process. I mean, the ASADA process is... I mean, it's pretty hard to say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But when the boys come in and say didn't go there, they were dumbfounded by it. So,
but I think
obviously
when
there's a lot of work to be done within that to know what actually happened. We honestly don't know. No, they don't. But I think they did. They have. If they're both from Queensland. They both came at the same time.
Yeah.
So they'd be pretty good mates.
You've been around a long time. Are you saddened by where Queensland
is at the moment? Don't you? And you see there's so much controversy. Oh, look, on a broad scale... you know, there's no doubt as we come into the first round, I think the entire footy world would be hoping that we're actually the papers are full of the new stars that are coming through. We'd love to be talking about that in this press conference rather than the issues we're dealing with. So I would say pretty well everyone right at the moment would like to be focusing on the game and not these issues like we're talking about. No one wins out of these things.
Herbie, how much have you drilled into the few days before that test in terms of contamination? Everyone talks about this issue with Chinese meats and those kind of things. How specific have you been with
them? Again, that's up to ASADA to investigate those things. We can get our head around the possibilities and what the product is and you know, for our own interest, but I do stress that we support ASADA's investigation, we support the anti-doping code, we are a club that very strongly has taken a hard line in support of the rules and regulations and the integrity of the game, and we're certainly not going to do anything else except support ASADA to investigate. They've got the resources, they've got the expertise, and they need to work through this process.
Does it just murky things for you guys a little bit, the fact that there's two here? I mean, one's bad enough, but two, so...
And if, best mates.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. So the fact that what I was getting at is that there's two. So if someone had, like Michael Rogers, had inadvertently eaten some meat or something like that within there, then that's a one-off thing. But to actually have two guys.
I think Michael Rogers did eat with another bloke, which. Not that's it.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, but it's all a bit of a moot point from our point of view.
Well, I think in the end, and this is what we've got to rely on, in the end, ASADA will get to a point where we'll all understand exactly what happened, and I think then it'll make sense. All of these things, we're not trying to make sense of such a small amount of information that we've got. In the end, I'm sure it'll make sense, and that's what the job for ASADA is, to get to that point.
You seem quite hyped to concentrate on the football, and you've said that that's a priority, but you know, you've got lots of key defender and another player. It seems extraordinary to decide to go out and concentrate on the football.
Yeah, but we've all been around footy clubs to see. We've got a list of players. Whether we lost players through injury or unavailability is, Nathan's already spoken to the players. When we spoke to the players this morning, because of the confidentiality, we literally could only just tell them that these two players wouldn't be available for this week, wouldn't be playing, and you just need to trust that the two of us are working through that process, and that you guys have just got to focus on what you control, which is preparing and playing against Brisbane on the weekend. First game, important we get a good start, and I see no reason why, they won't roll that out and be prepared.
Yeah, you spoke, you want to support the players, they are provisionally suspended, they have made a decision on whether they continue to train and stay within the club in that way. Do you have a personal view on what the best part is of that?
No, I think we need to talk to them about that and see where it goes. It'll be a bit of what they want to do as well. I mean, it depends on, what kind of, how they're treated by, if they've got someone at their front door with a camera every day and those sorts of things, that will be a real challenge for them. We're hoping, obviously, that doesn't happen. But we haven't been in front of them to know what they want to do and what their agents want to do and what even the PA wants us to do. We've never been in this position before. Whatever's best, we'll do. Do they come around and keep training and feel as though they're not even part of the group? Is that best for them or not? We'll have to work through that. We haven't made a decision.
Gary, whose decision was it for the two players' notes to become public? Was it the players' decision?
That was in consultation with the AFL, with the Players Association, with the players' legal representatives. We all decided, I don't mind saying that from a club perspective, we worked on this on the weekend to be able to talk about it and publicly announce this for the good of our supporters and all the other stakeholders that I mentioned before. But we also respected that the players needed to work through their processes and the AFL had to be aware as well. We actually can't announce this as part of the confidentiality by ourselves. We actually have to wait until another party announces it, which was the AFL, and that's why once the AFL announced things, we can roll it out. It's not at our discretion to roll it out otherwise.
What did the players think of this? Do they agree with this?
We were dealing with the players' representatives on this, and they agreed to all the wordings of the AFL statement and the club statement.
Is it frustrating not to be able to talk to your own players?
Oh, no, we can talk to them. We have spoken. Well, because they've been talking to their legal rep, and they said, let's do that first, and we can talk to them. We're not that fussed about that. We'll talk to them. We'll be talking.
The earliest you'll talk to them is Tuesday, when you found out Friday.
No, we spoke to them on Friday.
Briefly.
Yeah. Their legal representatives weren't available on the weekend. And in a lot of ways, this is a very serious issue, though. We're not talking about the fact that we heard some of the players were out having a drink on Friday night. It's a very serious issue, and we support the fact that they need to get legal advice. They needed time to process and make decisions, and they still do. So we've got to respect this. This is two key members of our club, two people that we don't want them to feel like they're under an unreasonable pressure, and they had some circumstances where they couldn't get to it as quickly as what we dealt with.
We've been in constant contact with their agents, so it's not as though we haven't
been able to get
Right. We're more than happy with that.
Are you concerned, Gary, just quickly, how long this is going to drag out? Well, obviously, in the Essendon scenario, drag out for a very long time. Are you concerned at the time frame that this could take, and how long it could be a disruption?
Yeah, that's, I suppose the broader question is it's really important how we as a club handle it. And we're not going to be able to control how long it goes on for, so we can only control how we handle it, which is why we're here today. We will be transparent throughout the whole process as much as we can. We'll keep our supporters informed, and we'll do everything possible to continue to win on field while we're going through this. And that's, as we've seen with Essendon, some ways the greatest support to these investigations is if you're winning on field. So it is a concern. The things we can control is how we handle it, and we've got a good team and we've got good advisors, and we're, in a lot of ways we'll be playing it as it unfolds on a day-to-day basis. So if that's, hopefully we've sort of pretty well covered everything else. Like I said, we've tried to be transparent today within our restrictions, so thanks very much for coming along.